pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the dispensation of the tribulation, we've seen many things so far, but the Great Tribulation has not even started in our study yet. We've talked about that. But one thing that we looked at last time was the fact that the Jewish people, the Israelites, are God's elect, according to the Scriptures. Matthew 24:22 says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And we kept looking, and we saw in Scripture how that Paul the Apostle said that he, in essence, would wish himself to be accursed. In fact, Romans 9:3 says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." And this is something that you and I need to understand, that God chooses no one particular person to be saved and another to be lost. And this is what Calvinism teaches. Now, of course, there's differences in Calvinistic people. They're thinking there's a four-point Calvinist, there's a five-point Calvinist. But primarily, the Calvinist believes that there's only a certain amount of people that will be saved because God does not save everyone. In other words, he does not choose everyone to be saved. Well, that is not true. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, Paul the Apostle was clear. He said that the elect, he would give his life for the elect. He would wish himself to be accursed if it were possible for his brethren. And once again, the Bible teaches us that in the tribulation, the elect are the people of Israel. Now, the tribulation is a judgment through which Israel must pass. They must go through this as a refining process to bring them to a point again where they are God's chosen people. Now, indirectly, the Gentiles who are in the tribulation will be affected by the tribulation. But the church, as we've seen in our study of the dispensation of the church will be caught out, taken up before that great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, note this, that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that it speaks of the rapture of the church, and chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians speaks of the tribulation. Now, the church is gone before the tribulation. Now, once again, the elect spoken of during the tribulation cannot be the church, those saved now, because the church will be with the Lord. Well, now, there's other things that we need to look at under this subject. We're going to continue our study about the tribulation, that is the seventh dispensation. Well, let's look at something, the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7 and verse 7 says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." Well, what about the Antichrist? Is he going to be just an ordinary fellow? Is he going to be somewhat of an intellectual? Well, of course he's going to be. He will be an intellectual genius. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23 says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance," this speaking of the Antichrist, "a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences, shall stand up. That word understanding means more like a brilliant person, a person who's going to have an intellect that is of a genius. And then he's going to be an oratorical genius as well. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36, it says, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." In other words, he's going to be able to convince people of himself. In other words, he's going to exalt himself, and he's going to present himself as, once again, people will look up to him and reverence him in such a way as they should reverence God. So he's not only going to be an intellectual genius, but he's going to be an oratorical genius, able to present himself as someone who's above everyone else. Now, he's smarter than anyone else, and people will exalt him. He's already exalted himself, according to Daniel 11:36. And when he exalts himself, the people will raise him up as well. He's going to be like that telemarketer that calls and you don't hang up on it, which you should, but that telemarketer who calls and he's able to sell you anything. And this is something somewhat of the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying these telemarketers are Antichrist. I'm simply saying, using them as an illustration, that just as they're able to sell, he's going to be able to do much more than someone you've ever met who's been the best salesman in the world that you've run into. Well, he's going to be even greater, a greater salesman. Well, he's also going to be a political genius, according to Revelation chapter 17. Verses 11 and 12 says this, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." He's able to convince people that he's something that he's not. He's able to convince people to follow him. We would see a politician today who has we would call it a golden tongue, that's able to convince people. It may not even be a politician. It could be someone else who's trying to convince people of something that they need to recognize that individual who's speaking as someone who's very important, and they need to follow that individual. It's like a politician, once again. This man will be a political genius. Well, there are 10 horns mentioned in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 12. And we can compare Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7 with Revelation 17 and verse 12 and see the 10 horns in each verse. Well, notice he will also be a commercial genius. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 16. It says there, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Now we compare that with Daniel chapter 11 and verse 43, where it says, "But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt." And once again, Egypt is a representation of the world. The verse goes on to say in Daniel 11:43, "And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps." Everybody will be at his steps. In other words, he's instructing, he's leading, he's helping these people to understand that he is so great. Everyone will be bowing down to him. That is, except those who do not receive the mark. And Psalm 37 and verse 23 tells us about those who follow the steps or the instructions, the leading of the Lord. This is in contrast to following the beast. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." We might say the steps of a good man are not ordered by the beast, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Steps of a good man are those steps that's taken to follow the Lord and to do as the Lord has said, and that's to believe on Him, to trust Him as Lord and Savior, and then, as a saved person, to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to count it a privilege and an honor to be able to tell other individuals about Jesus Christ. Well, one thing that I would mention here, once again, Revelation 13:16, He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads. We discussed this, and I've talked about this in an earlier study, how that I don't know what this mark will be. I don't have any idea. There's a lot of conjecture of what this mark could be. I simply know that those individuals who receive the mark of the beast in the tribulation, they cannot be saved according to the Scriptures. There is no way for them to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because they have decided to follow the devil, to follow the Antichrist. And of course, we've talked about this, how that the Antichrist actually receives his power from the devil. So we could say that the people who take the mark of the beast are following the devil. They will not be able to be saved according to the Word of God. Well, let me say this, that I believe they've had an opportunity to be saved because the Word will still be going around. Now, they will try to do away with the Word, as some people's trying to do away with it today, and that's the Scriptures that tell a person how to be saved. But the Word of God's always going to be. People are not going to be able to get rid of the Word of God. Forever, the Word is settled in heaven and on earth. The Word will always be around so that individuals can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, we also see that this man, the beast, will be a military genius. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." And then in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Well, he has all the attributes of the first three beasts of Daniel chapter 7, but his power comes from the dragon. There's no doubt that this person will be a person to whom people will follow because they see him as someone who is so great that he's able to convince them that he's everything, that he's above God. And of course, this is what the devil has wanted to do from the beginning. He wanted to exalt himself above the Lord in the beginning when iniquity was found within him. And I'm speaking of Satan, of course. And in a sense, the devil will be getting honor and glory through the Antichrist. And of course, I've said before that the devil himself will be worshipped more and more and more during the time of the tribulation. So is it any wonder that so many people, even today, refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of the things of the world, the things that the devil has placed in their way to convince them that the world is the way to go? Well, the world is the way to go to hell. A person needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in order to go to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.